Doug Vaughn here to tell you about Bertarelli Cutlery. Now, I'm best known for two things, spitting red-hot sports takes and legendary culinary skills in the kitchen. I've been going to Bertarelli for all my kitchen tools for years. They have it all, knives, pots, pans, mixers, meat slicers, and all the gadgets and gizmos you could ever imagine. Bring in a set of knives with Bertarelli Cutlery's knife sharpening service, and in 30 minutes, your blades will be better than new. So shoot on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill or shop online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. Now so clear to me, you
are my everything. Is this Nick Lachey? Is 98 Degrees is Drew Lachey, or is this Stan?
Doug? I'm going to go with Stan. Right. Is that who it is?
The Tease Farms, 9 o'clock hour. Tease Farms, the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Get your shrubs at Tease Farms. Locations in Maryland Heights, St. Charles, and North Hanley. Tease Farms, 9 o'clock hour. Send your emails in. The Morning After at InsideSTL.com. We have a lot of fun with audio for you. Huge sports weekend, so we have all kinds of stuff. Doug, give me a theme you want. And I will deliver for you.
Mm. How about the NBA Finals?
Okay. Anything specific?
Well, what do you have?
I have Tyronn Lue, the head coach of the Cavaliers.
You know, talking. I like him because he gave a shout-out to
That's
Mexico,
right.
Missouri.
Take a listen.
All right. I just want to give a shout-out to Mexico, Missouri, and Cleveland, Ohio. We're coming back, baby. Let's go! I'm just happy for LeBron. I'm happy for the city of Cleveland, the state of Ohio, the Cleveland Cavaliers organization, and Mexico, Missouri. We in the house, baby.
Two shout-outs for Mexico. Congratulations.
Mexico, Missouri, when I was working at KOMU in Columbia, starting out this Hall of Fame career on Friday Night Football, I would have to drive to Mexico, Missouri, and shoot video of Mexico and Moberly. Ah, yes.
I had a couple of college friends, fraternity brothers, who were from Mexico. Apparently, he went to... He must have moved because he went to Raytown High School in the Kansas City area and then on to Nebraska. Because I was saying, I didn't remember him. Somebody played at that level, you would think that we would have remembered him from being in Mexico, but I didn't.
Won two championships as a player and now has one as a coach, Doug.
Yeah. And played with Eduardo Nájera.
Eduardo Nájera.
Do you think he really coaches the team or does LeBron coach the team?
I think it's a little bit of a split there.
Boy, that's a good gig if you can get it. NBA head coach. He's got like a $9 million contract. You rotate players in and out. You ask LeBron what he wants to do this time. Okay, what do you want to do now? Make your $9 million. Nice deal.
I'm happy for him. Seems like a good guy. He was at XS2, by the way. I don't have video. I don't have video of him pouring booze, though.
He was crying his eyes out when the game was
Yeah.
Over. I also like the fact that Tyronn Lue still looks like a player. Like you see
he's
him
only
in
like 38 or 39,
and
right?
You're thinking he's a player.
Even though he's premature gray.
Yeah, 39.
Probably close to the same age as Richard Jefferson, in all seriousness.
Richard Jefferson's 35.
Oh, is he?
Did you read that thing Richard Jefferson wrote on the Players Tribune?
I did not.
I asked Doug and the cat that thing. Look, I mean, it was crazy. It was really good. It was real, if somebody would like to.
I've read some articles on that.
In general.
I haven't read that one.
Doug, Charlie hasn't read that one.
Well,
that particular
I
one.
Either. I haven't either.
Here is J.R. Smith. I thought this was pretty cool. It came out of nowhere. His dad was right there. This is, of course, being on Father's Day. Known as a how would you describe Richard Jefferson's reputation, J.R. Smith's reputation, excuse me, in the NBA?
I wouldn't call him a bad boy, free spirit. Maybe a knucklehead is the right word. Yeah. Knucklehead. Just kind of does some things that don't make a lot of sense, but good-hearted.
And probably, at least from what I saw last night anyway, that's not fair, but from what I saw, the most poignant sound from the celebration.
Hit the lever plows, eh?
I mean, my parents, my family, that's the biggest inspiration of my life. I've been in a lot of dark spots in my life, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to get out of it. But they are who they are. They fought with me. They yelled at me. They screamed at me. They loved me. They hugged me. They cried with me. And they always stuck by my side, no matter right or wrong. And I know a lot of people don't have I know a lot of people don't have their parents in their life, their mother or their father, but I got the best two you could ask for, I swear. It's six of us, and they didn't treat any of us different. They loved us the same. They treated us all the same, and I just want to be like them when I grow up. I mean, my dad is easily one of my biggest inspirations to play this game. And to hear people talk bad about me, it hurts me because I know it hurts him. And that's not who I am. And I know he raised better, and I know I want to do better, and just everything I do is for my parents and my family. I mean, I don't really, the cars is nice, the houses is nice, but none of this matters without them. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I would be. Honestly, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for the structure and the backbone that I have, I wouldn't be able to mess up and keep coming back and being able to sit in front of you as a world champion.
How about that?
That was J.R. pretty awesome.
Smith. Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And then he got up and walked over and he embraced his father. And LeBron talked about J.R. Smith and what he's been through.
But just understand what J.R.'s been through, you know, and people just saying that, you know, there's no way he can be a winner. You know, and when our GM came to us last year and said, hey, we got a deal to get Timothy Mozgov and get Iman Shumpert, and the Knicks are going to throw in J.R. I was like, what? They're going to throw in J.R. into the deal? And I was like, okay, I got him. And J.R. turned himself into not only a huge boost to our team, but he turned himself into a two-way player, both sides of the floor.
LeBron on J.R. getting thrown in and then playing a key role. Also, Vin Scully had a take on socialism.
Oh, this I like. Go ahead and hit the lever, please, Pelosi.
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free and all of a sudden there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela?
Tell us.
The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello.
Hello.
Anyway, 0-2.
I love him.
Been right on the button again.
Best. Yep. He's the absolute best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nailed socialism too, didn't he? The daughter of Hugo Chavez.
0-2.
Gonna miss Vin when he retires.
Those are the best baseball stories, though. The ones where he weaves the whole story throughout an at-bat and still calls the pitches in between in the right moments.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And does it by himself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And simulcast, correct? I believe he does a simulcast of TV and radio.
I think so. I'm quite sure he's talked more than any other human being in the history of the planet.
You ever hear producer Joe ask a question?
But this has gone on with Ben since the 1950s, doing games.
And it's like
every
but it's
night.
Like he's sitting next to you. He's not talking at you.
I will switch over to a Dodgers game, just kind of as background, just to listen to him. For the reals, though. Kind of like how I have the Hustler channel on in the morning.
As great as he is, I would still take Jack Buck over him. And I don't say that just because.
Why does it have to be a contest?
I think Jack Buck had an even more fun personality. And I think he was better calling the play itself, just more exciting. I don't think anyone's. I love hearing Jack Buck. I wish Cam Wex would just play a random game from the 1980s just for 3 hours. I'd listen to it just to hear Jack Buck again.
Yeah, I think I would too. I would. Plus, I love those 1980s teams.
Yeah, or any other decade.
I don't know if I want to listen to, like, the Greg Jeffries era.
I would listen to anything if Jack Buck were calling it.
Andre Scalarraga era?
Sure. Absolutely. Because it also brings back your youth, at least for me.
What Tom Henke does?
Well, just hearing Jack Buck. You know, radio used to be such a big part of baseball. Now every game's on TV. You tend to watch them instead of listening to them on the radio.
Hey, along those lines, Janie the Lesbian, when I asked, is it still scissoring if the lesbians don't have legs? She said, well, if you think about the science of it, no. I feel like they still could trip, though. And she spelled though, T-H-O.
I don't think you need to bring science into it. I think you're overanalyzing the question.
Why do you hate science?
I don't hate science.
Do you believe in climate change?
Yeah, I think so. I think I do, definitely.
Maybe instead of scissoring, I know needle nose pliers are a little bit shorter and stumpier. Maybe that could be a new trend.
Nicely done, sir.
Needle nose pliers.
Speaking of which, Orange is the New Black, new season out this weekend, right?
I've never seen it.
Oh, you'll like
it. Is it that good?
There's some lesbianism in there.
Came out the 17th on Netflix.
Look at the Plow Shark.
I do need a new show. Maybe Game of Thrones. I haven't watched
that. I know. I feel like I got to watch that. I want to watch Vinyl. I want to watch Billions. We watched the OJ thing this week, and we're 3 of the 5 episodes.
I finished that.
Strong to quite strong?
I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the OJ deal. And as a guy
so far, just outstanding.
Yeah, who loves history. It's just the way they do the whole scope of racism in L.A.
Yeah,
going
it
back
really
to the
is
60s,
well done.
It's just so comprehensive. It's probably, what, it's got to be 7.5, 8 hours worth of total documentary when it's all said and done.
Doug, have you watched it? Are you going
to
watch it?
No, I want to.
Yeah, it's really good.
Time, of course. I'd love to. Do they make no bones of the fact that he was guilty?
Well, I haven't watched the whole thing yet. So far, I would say they make it crystal clear. But they also explain, and truthfully, you know, I mean, I was 18, or turning 18, then 94. You know, I remember watching that verdict and just being dumbfounded. And then furthermore, confused as to why many in the black community were so happy about it. But then because of the historical context they present, that you don't necessarily go, oh, well, then he was innocent. You don't think that at all. But you understand why there was the feelings that were. Do you recall, I was talking about this with my father-in-law and mother-in-law yesterday, because we were talking about this at lunch for Father's Day. The Korean grocery store owner shooting the young black girl. Do you recall that story at all?
I saw it in the documentary, but I did not remember hearing about that.
I mean, what in the heck? And she got probation?
I was born in 82, so that was before Rodney King, correct?
It was 19 days. I thought they said 19 days after the King verdict.
Oh, was it?
And then the Korean grocery store owner only received probation. I mean, I just don't even know how. And then how the King trial, and I was 16 when that one happened, and how that was moved to Simi Valley, which was the equivalent of moving something like St. Charles, you know. So that, you know, that you understand that. And then why there was talk of moving the Simpson trial to like Santa Monica, the Santa Monica courthouse, be more affluent. But Gil Garcetti, who was the DA, there was a thought process that he wanted to make sure that he kept his office, wanted to ingratiate himself to the black vote. And so he kept it in downtown LA. And then when people were getting, you know, filtered through for the jury process, how many people, especially if you have a, you know, career or in a position to set aside 6 months. 6 months is what they told for the jury pool.
I'll say this too, and
I
can't
so
remember.
Well done.
I mean, yeah.
But gave you historical context that as a white guy, especially a teenage white guy, I couldn't possibly A, even know about, but B, relate to. And then you sit there and you go, okay, well, I understand the anger. That Korean grocery store thing was, you know, holy crap, probation for that?
And it's not exactly a spoiler alert because we all know what happened, but to not spoil the end of the documentary for people that haven't watched, I will say this. When you start to really get into the trial and they show clips of the Dream Team lawyers and then they interview a lot of them afterwards, I mean, it is amazing how they basically manipulated this case. I mean, this lawyer team was so good. But also, if you watch it, I think you'll feel a little dirty with the way it went
how
down.
How proud that Johnny Cochran's assistant was of switching the pictures in OJ's house, which were mostly or almost all, I think is what he said, of him with white people. And before the jury toured the house, which as Marsha Clark said throughout the whole thing, the prosecuting attorney, for those of you too young to recall, why were they even touring the house anyway? They wanted to show Rockingham and where the glove was. And they switched it out to put him with all of his pictures with black people. And they took down all of his pictures with white people. And then the gentleman says, and I believe he's an attorney now at the Cochran firm, even though Johnny Cochran has passed, said, yes, if it was a Hispanic jury, we would have put him in sombreros or mariachi band on him, whatever. And he was laughing. He was just so happy. I'm just like, making me nauseous.
When you're a defense lawyer like that and you know your client is guilty of murder and you get him off, allowing him to skate on a murder charge of innocent people, are you happy with yourself? Are you proud of that?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because, and what I think is maybe the most interesting part is talking with some of these jury members after the fact. And I think some of them, even really deep down, thought OJ was guilty. And again, I don't want to give away the spoilers, but there's the sense that, you know what, this was a makeup call for years and decades worth of LAPD violence against African Americans, and where every case went against them, this was their time to get back and kind of right the ship. It was just it was the wrong person in OJ who was representing this, but that was the real reason for them coming to the conclusion they did.
I understand that for the population at large, for certain demographic groups. I'm asking as an attorney, when you know your guy did it, killed two innocent people, and you get them off, are you still proud of that? You still happy with that?
I
don't know how they do it.
I think you're looking at it, in all seriousness, from a competitive standpoint. You're trying to win the case. And I'm not saying that's right, but that's the way they look at it.
I just wonder how you'd go home and sleep comfortably at night knowing that you allowed a murderer back on the street who you knew killed someone.
I agree with you.
Well, you're operating off the premise. Now, we, of course, I mean, I think logic would dictate that they thought deep down that he was guilty, but you are operating off the premise that he knew, or the attorneys knew, that he was guilty.
Right. Well, it's not just this case. I mean, there's plenty of other murderers who've gotten off on a technicality, or there wasn't enough evidence to convict him. I just wonder, just in general, as a defense attorney, when you get someone that you know did it and you pulled something to get him off, how you cope with that, how you deal with that, knowing that that you've made your city a more dangerous place by getting a dangerous person off the hook.
I will say, and they have interviews right after the trial where Robert Shapiro, it's clear that even within the Dream Team, those guys were not happy with some of the guys afterwards. Like Shapiro said, he wasn't real happy with some of the things Cochran said in the comparison to Hitler in his final argument. He said he would never talk to F. Lee Bailey again. So I think there was certainly some division, and at least two of those Dream Team lawyers were African-American, where, again, I think a lot of this really had to do with our people have been screwed over so many times. Even if this isn't the right case, this is one we're going to win.
OJ trial wasn't won by the Dream Team. The prosecution lost the trial with two things: one, trying on the glove, and two, letting Furman testify. That's from the 573.
But them basically changing the whole scope of the trial. They no longer talked about Nicole and Ron Goldman. It was basically a trial of Mark Furman. And so much of the attention was basically on the alleged racist cop that all of that focus took away from the overwhelming amount of blood evidence at the scene. But yes, the glove thing was certainly, I mean, we all saw it. And again, I don't know what I want to say because a lot of people haven't watched the documentary, but OJ talks about a way that he kind of, or some, I should say his agent, talks about the way that OJ kind of made it so that glove did not fit.
It may have been over as soon as they selected the jury, though. Because as you say, if they're talking about, well, this is one we're going to win, we're going to get back for all the injustice that's happened in the past, it could have been just the racial makeup of the jury pool was enough.
And Johnny Cochran, I guess, when they went and deliberated, Johnny Cochran went with his wife to Wine Country because he figured, look, We've done this trial for how long? 6 months? They're gonna deliberate forever. They deliberated for 3.5 hours. I mean, for a trial that long, for them to come to that conclusion that quickly. And one of the jurors says in the documentary, she goes, "We were there for 250 days or whatever it was, 250 nights. I went home to that hotel, 250 days. It was time to get back to life." Like they were done with it.
Yeah, that never surprises me that much when they reach a rather quick verdict. I'm surprised when they listen to all this evidence and then they sit there and they argue about it for hours and hours and hours and hours. You would think that they would have their mind made up about the time the trial ends, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I wonder if sometimes they just sit there to make it look like they're really deliberating long and hard. Well, you've heard all the evidence. So why? I don't know why it takes you another 15 hours to decide.
Your thoughts on the OJ Made in America documentary? It finished off. I mean, you can watch it on Watch ESPN, so you didn't need to wait, but finished off airing this weekend. And Anna Marie and I have watched three of them. We'll probably finish it off maybe tomorrow or Wednesday because we have The Bachelor tonight and got to really lock in on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bachelorette, whatever the hell it is. 314-880-0808. Appliance Discounters phone lines. Salt and Smoke, the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. If you haven't had that Salt and Smoke brisket, get on it. It is delicious. It is oh so choice. Tony the Plow Dow, Doug, attorney at law. Mm-hmm. He says those defense lawyers were able to cope because the legal team made something like $3 to $5 million for that case.
Oh, I don't doubt that. And I'm not sure how highly intelligent people like that, how they can deal with it, knowing not, and again, not in just this case, but many cases, how they can deal with knowing that they put a murderer back on the streets.
And OJ was signing football cards and signing helmets and signing footballs in jail every day, hundreds if not close to thousands, to help pay off his legal team during the trial. They'd bring him in 500 cards, and he'd sign them, and he'd say, okay, I get $25 a piece, and that's what he would do every day.
And they let him do that in jail?
Well, he was still allowed to make money. You're innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, until he was proven, well,
yes, this
he was
is
proven
during,
not guilty.
During the trial, I'm saying.
So people that are held in a cell in jail are still allowed to run a business?
I don't know if OJ got special treatment, but in the documentary, his autograph guy basically says, look, we brought him in little panels of footballs. He would sign them, we'd send him back, turn him into a football. We'd bring him in the football cards. We'd bring him in the number, you know, the 2 of his jersey. He'd sign a bunch, then they would go and put him on the jersey. And his autograph sold for more during
sure
the trial
it
because it was
yeah.
it was such
do,
a weird
do all
thing.
Prisoners get that right? They have
don't
things
know.
Brought in for them?
Again, if you watch this, you will see that OJ over the years got a lot of special treatment from the LAPD with a lot of domestic violence claims over the years leading up to
yeah.
the murder.
I don't doubt that any big celebrity gets special treatment in prison.
Let's see. Doug, doesn't part of you just feel really bad for OJ? That comes from Bunchy Donovan's Priest.
Not 1 ounce of me feels bad for OJ.
Tim, my wife and I are both in our 30s, have been together for 8+ years. No kids and DFW? Let me know when you want to booze. That's from SLU High alumni. Look, I found another person who is in their 30s, together for 8 years, and no kids. And went to the U High. Even better. What's DFW, though?
Yeah, that's my question.
Plow Star, what is DFW? Plow Star, everybody.
Isn't that the Dallas airport?
No kids. Yeah, Dallas-Fort Worth. That's what it is.
I'm not for sure. I can certainly look that up, though, Tim.
It could.
No kids and DFW.
CMOS, any idea on DFW? You think it's Dallas-Fort Worth as well?
I'm going to look it up.
Somebody on the text line says, down for whatever.
Down for whatever.
Oh.
Perfect. Well, I'll tell you what it'll be. It'll be me at Billy G's on the patio and ideally no gnats. I have a no gnat policy.
Gnats.
Thank you.
I've never really noticed a gnat at Billy G's, Tim.
Is a
Must
gnat,
be me.
Is a gnat a baby fly?
Great question.
I don't think so.
What's the difference between a gnat and a fly?
I think they're different animals. A fly only lives a couple days. If you started as a gnat, I don't think you'd have time to grow that big.
It's a tough break, only a couple days. You got to make the most of it.
Flies come from maggots, right?
Sounds right.
Somebody will check on that. I think Frank's going to talk about it at 10:30.
A fly only lives a couple days?
Yeah, I believe so. Less if you swat him.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I'm telling you, I had this gnat and I just couldn't get it.
Really?
But Anna Marie was fascinated because the gnat was not flying around her. The gnat was flying around me and I couldn't get it. And I don't know if I had, you know, I put moisturizer all over my, I just put it in my palms and I just rub it all over my head like the Dickens because I don't have any hair to worry about. So I'd rub it around. So I don't know if it was attracted to the moisturizer.
Maybe.
If it was attracted to my narcissism. I don't know what it was.
Maybe it was your scent. They say certain people get bit more by mosquitoes than other people based on their scent.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you had the same thing going with gnats.
Oh, it's brutal.
A gnat sure looks like a fly.
That Billy G's a pony, man. I'll tell you.
Was it crowded all weekend?
It's just perfect. It really is.
And you ponied up. You shot over there and ponied up.
Yep. But briefly, because of that gnat situation.
Oh, it was that bad. One gnat was that bad that you just got up and stormed out, turned, reared, and left.
I didn't storm out. I apologize to the waiter.
You really left with your food right there, spaghetti?
I did get chicken spaghetti sandwich.
Of course.
I did. I had the trashed wings before we left. Plow Shark, were you making the trashed wings on?
Oh, he was just walking out again.
Where does he go?
I'm going to bring in the email to you, but.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's only 9:29. There's still 10 minutes of great emails to come.
Oh, we have heavy hitters here, but
heavy hitters. What's that mean, Doug? Like old money?
It's a strong batch, Tim.
Very
really?
Strong, Tim.
Wow.
And the trashed wings. Now it's not on the menu, but I can give you a pointer.
What is this, like Nobu's secret menu?
This is something that we like to toy around with some food items.
We're
here.
We're gonna learn something here.
You get the trashed wings, and then instead of just leaving them trashed, You give him an extra coat of sauce. It's fantastic. It's unbelievable.
Well, it doesn't seem like much of a secret.
It's a hybrid. You're just like putting sauce.
Yeah, it is a hybrid. Good job, Chuck.
Thank you.
Doug, almost a double sopping situation.
I'm also seeing here breaking news that house flies, their lifespan, I'm seeing 15 to 30 days.
Nice knowledge, Doug. Apologize.
Just a couple days.
What about gnats, though?
What's the source there?
Like, I'm worried this gnat's, like, in the studio with me.
Well, there's four stages of life, Doug. There's egg, larva. Is it pupa or poopa?
Nurse.
Pupa, an adult.
Okay, so when they're actually outside flying around proper.
Outside of the larva proper.
Yeah, how long are they living?
Six.
I say, let's say 25 days.
That seems like a long time to me for a fly. Long time.
What if you meet the wrong girl right off the bat? You settle down,
right,
and you're already dead.
You don't have a lot of time to waste as a fly.
That's true.
Yeah, it's tough.
So you
got to
play
lesbianism.
The field. At least that first 7 days, you got to play the field, don't you think, Tim?
Mm-hmm. You got to. You always got to be looking for lesbianism. Fly, human, gerbil.
Uh-huh.
Guys, gnats live 7 days and flies 28 days. Thank you, Courtney D. Wow, nice.
All right.
Tim, the reason the gnat was all over you is because gnats are known to recognize greatness.
Awesome. Living.
Fuels me. Thank you, Charlie. Game recognized, game hoes do too. It's the new 2 Live Crew. I thought you knew. Think about it.
If I saw a gnat, I just don't know that I'd be able to differentiate between a gnat and a fly.
Oh, come on. A gnat is a tiny little thing. A tiny,
the picture
itsy,
I saw,
gnat.
It looks exact. Okay, how is that not a baby fly, then?
Well, a fly is five times the size of a gnat.
I think it's six times, but yeah.
I don't know about that.
It's much bigger.
I guarantee you a baby fly is close to the same size.
You never
size
see baby flies. You
gnat.
See the regular big old fly.
You see, like, the pupa. The
you
pupa.
You never see baby pigeons either, do you?
Don't change the subject.
And you never see baby fly.
Don't change the subject.
I mean, a fly is a fly. His time is short. He's got a few days. He's got to grow to adulthood, like, right now and get busy smelling poop.
This is what OJ's defense team did. They took away from the focus. We're talking flies here.
Yep.
All right. You honestly don't know the difference between a fly and a flea? Or a gnat?
A gnat, yes.
Wow.
I just looked at a picture of a gnat. It looks exactly like a fly.
Well, maybe if you blow the picture up to the same size. I mean, you could blow a picture down of an elephant, and you might think, oh, it's the same size as a fly.
I think somebody seeing a small, maybe it was a fly that wasn't developed properly and had some type of handicap.
I don't think a gnat is a special needs fly.
I'm just saying, if you saw a small fly, it could easily be mistaken for a gnat.
No. Tim couldn't even get his pincers on this
couldn't,
gnat.
Couldn't, for the life of me. Annam Reed has texted and says it wasn't just one gnat, it was a swarm.
Oh,
and there,
no.
And she wrote three or four R's in there.
Did you shower?
Yeah, like the Dickens. Shower a couple times a day, which is very un-Irish of me.
Yeah.
Well, the Irish don't shower now?
Yeah, I got a reputation for that and small penis. But Charlie, you saw me at the gym. And so
getting
obviously, getting after it. So obviously I showered after that, and I'd already showered earlier in the day. So I don't know. Like, I put this moisturizer on my head. I slap it on. I slather myself in moisturizer.
Is that sunblock?
No, just keeps my my skin smooth as a baby's behind.
Mm. I will say this. You look at different kinds of gnats, Doug, or is it gnat?
It's not gnat.
Some of them look like mosquitoes, though. They look more like mosquitoes than flies.
Okay.
Like, look.
Look at that. Oh, man. Yeah. If I had that thing around me on Saturday night, I would have called the police is what I would have done.
Look at the larvae. The pupa.
I'm not going to look at the
larvae. Look at the pupa.
Now, the second picture from the left, that looks a little like a fly.
That's my point. That looks like a mosquito. That looks like a fly. They're
much smaller than a fly.
Guys, I lived in Doug's backside for 3 days. Thanks, Wright City Lemming.
Wright City Lemming, you're going to live in the suspension logule for a period of 2 days' time. Thanks, Llewellyn, for providing said logule. Wright City he's now eligible to go to spring training with us. Fantastic. Wright City Lemming. 2 days' time. Llewellyn's. Get ready. Another name coming for the hopper.
Here's Vin Scully on Clayton Kershaw holding six baseballs.
Oh, good.
Ball rolling on the infield. Gannett has to retrieve. Kershaw, meanwhile, extending his hand to hold six baseballs. Try that sometime. One ball and no strikes to count.
Benny and the
Jets. The two best men, Bull Singer for Anderson and Anderson for Bolsinger in their marriages. One is gone and the other is hanging on by a fingernail. 5-5. And again, if you're watching on TV, Clayton is showing he's got three. He has now wedged in four, wedged in another five, and one in the middle is six. Remarkable.
Well, it's not even the record. I remember a famous picture from years ago, Johnny Bench holding seven. Here's the picture of Johnny Bench holding seven, and then there was somebody, like a college kid or something, could hold eight.
He glued him, though.
That was a big story back in the 70s. Johnny Bench thought he'd had the record by
holding.
Did you
lead with that?
No. By holding it with one hand, seven balls, and then this other kid came up with eight.
Now How many balls can you hold, Doug?
Two. Now he weaved in the count, the score, Clayton Kershaw holding baseballs, and then Mike Bolsinger being best man with some other guy on the team.
That would be fun to listen to him.
We just need Vin Scully night. Clips constantly, and anytime we get into a 20-minute discussion on flies swarming around me, I just go, and here's Vin Scully.
Do we still have the one with Madison Bumgarner and his wife, an expert field dresser, pulled the rabbit from the snake? Do we still have that one?
Plow? Do you have that one, Plow Penguin?
Right when we moved here to the station. I'll find it now, Doug.
Okay, thank you.
Like, I would like to know, though.
When I lost the sounds of silence in my office.
For example, the socialism, I would like to know where that started. Like, how did he start that conversation? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amongst the baseball game.
I don't know. He's got to talk for a long time. Probably touch like on a lot of subjects.
He has game notes in front of him, and he has like the newspaper.
I think he has a text inbox.
He has a text inbox, and he just kind of like looks down at the front page of the paper and says, two balls, no strikes, and how about this Trump guy? I'll tell you what.
I think this is more of an anti-Bernie Sanders rant.
I'm not trying to get political, Doug. I'm just saying, where in the baseball game, in the context of watching and calling a baseball game, does socialism come about?
I don't know. We would have needed to hear the previous 2-3 minutes.
That's why I just said that.
Okay, well, let's go back and listen to it.
Tim, it's your musk. It attracts gnats, gays, and porn stars. Thanks. It's from Zambo. I think Zambo just applied for membership in the fan page. Del Carr is now a member of the TMA fan page on Facebook. So is Matt Zambo.
All right, Samzy.
Patrick Rocco and Erin Reese, another lady.
Now, how do you know?
Because I see
it's E-R-I-N or A-A-R-I-N?
E-R-I-N.
Because they could do phony profiles.
I know, but we have Facebook filters on those.
You can tell a phony profile?
Mm-hmm.
How?
I don't want to reveal the reasoning. Oh. Because we,
it's just because they don't have a history of...
One out of every four applicants seems to be a female, and then one out of every 10, I would say, seems to be a Facebook fake from like some clown who we had to block from the previous one, or I had to block personally, or drives by my house, or whatever other weird things are going on.
Mm. It's usually easy to find the Facebook, the fake, because it's usually a young, hot woman... and she has a picture where she's really showing off her cleavage.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go check on the profile, and she has one picture, and then she has all these friends from like Indonesia,
right,
and places like that.
And the end game there is somebody going to try to engage you in conversation and get your money. Is that
I'm
what
guessing
that's all about?
To spam you or to make you click on a link, and the next thing you know, they've got a virus or something. I don't know how that all works. I deny all those people.
And most importantly, Cal May, following yesterday's loss, had a chance to talk it over with the Cardinal manager.
Hit the lever, Plowsy. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
How disappointing is it to see this team go 0-5 on this home stand, though?
Yeah, it's pretty tough for us, you know, play here in home and lose 5 games. It's pretty tough.
Doesn't sound like Mike Matheny, but I was wrong. That was me.
Who was that?
Diaz?
Oh, okay.
Diaz.
Can I hear it one more time?
Hit the lever.
How disappointing was it to see this team go 0-5 on this home stand, though?
Yeah, it's pretty tough for us, you know. They play here in home and lose 5 games. It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Just like at Yankee Stadium.
0-5, though.
Just like at Fenway.
Fellas?
With 5 quality starts.
Yeah.
The Texas Rangers have never lost a regular season game at Busch Stadium. Only team in the majors.
You know, you look at the standings... The Rangers are darn close to the Cubs.
Yeah, how about that?
For being the best team in all of baseball.
Yeah. Without a lot of players that you really know a lot about.
They got a lockdown bullpen.
Yeah, they didn't. I drafted Sean Tolleson.
Yeah, Tolleson was
I drafted him in fantasy baseball. Yeah. He was getting a ton of saves with an ERA of about 8.5. So they demoted him. Sam Dyson, now he gets all the saves. This has all been part of my team this year, Chuck. It's been one bad thing after the next.
You're kind of struggling.
Falling apart.
And, you know,
most of it's due to computer malware.
But look what's happening. Tim's team is in first, and after seven straight victories by club flip, I am now in second.
What do you think about that, Doug? Is it awkward for you to be in the same room with us?
Well, Doug, I don't think
you guys, Gateway Buick GMC
you guys control the computer code.
No.
Game recognized game hose do too. Mm-hmm.
Are you even in the playoff picture?
No. This is the worst season I've ever had. Every move I make backfires. Everything I do goes wrong.
Here's why though. You won't trade any players.
Yes, I will.
I started the year 0-3-1. I was so sick of losing, I said, screw it. I'm trading Mike Trout. I'm trading Chris Davis of the Orioles. I traded Jay Bruce. I traded Noah Syndergaard, and I haven't lost since because I want value in return.
Who'd you get for those people?
Oh, man, I got Cole Hamill. I got four closers. I got Stephen Piscotty. Who else did I get? Yeah, I got a bunch of starting pitchers, a bunch of closers. I kind of retooled my team.
Yeah. It still sounds like you gave up more talent than you got.
No.
Apparently because, it's turned you around.
Because a first baseman, an outfielder, how easily can you find one of those guys on the waiver wire? That's pretty good. I picked up Mike Napoli for free, and he's got 15 home runs.
Really?
I'm getting nothing
batting average, like 220?
Yeah, it's about 230.
Mm. I get nothing out of Adrian Gonzalez. When did he stop hitting?
And Buster Posey's killing you.
Yeah. He's okay. He's just not worthy of a second-round draft pick.
Oh, I was locked in on Wilson Ramos before the season. I was locked in on him. What a value play that was.
But who's the best catcher in all of fantasy?
Wilson Ramos.
Jonathan Lucroy?
I don't know.
I think it's pretty close.
Considering
Jonathan Lucroy.
In the 10th round, that was a nice play, and I was locked in on him.
He's hitting about 312, Doug?
He had some laser surgery before the season on his eyesight, and he was raking in spring training, and sure enough, he's carried it over. That's what he's done. He's carried it over.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Tim and I, we have strong clubs, and Doug doesn't.
I picked Grichuk in like the 6th round. I mean, he tore it up in spring training. I think everybody had him figure this is going to be a big year for Grichuk.
Well, you
I
can't mean, listen to the Cats' nothing. Preseason fantasy analysis.
Well, it wasn't the Cat. It was everybody else. Everybody was saying, this guy's going to hit 30 home runs. He's going to be a breakout star. Really disappointing that he's struggling.
Tom Verducci did say on this show that he reminds him of Ryan Braun. He said that on this very program.
Yeah.
And you listened to it.
I think everybody had Grichuk figured for
going to not this, I'll tell you that. I thought there was some overrating based on, you know, optimism of 15 outstanding seasons with maybe one blip in there. But, I'm with you, Charlie. I'm not emotional one way when the Cardinals are doing really well or when they're doing really bad because I just kind of think they're an average team that may get the second wild card, which then would be exciting, but it would just take crazy run good to get past, I guess at that point it would be the Cubs again, most likely, or whoever else it would be, Natitude, Giants. You know, I think even like the hardest of hardcore best fan in baseball would say, yeah, the Cardinals aren't even in the, you know, top five when you look at rosters. But, you know, I mean, hell, the 2006 Cardinals will always be the outlier. 2011 Cardinals were a good team. 2006 Cardinals. Although all the guys on that team, you know, said, you know, once they got healthy, it was a different deal. But Edmonds himself has said that that was the worst team of the first seven teams he was on in St. Louis, including the 0-3 team that didn't make the playoffs but won more regular season games.
Yeah, it's cliche to say, but it really is true. If you just get in the playoffs, you got a shot. If you just get there.
Last year I said, well, the one team I know isn't going to win, the Royals. Perfect. And in 2003 I looked at the field and I go, oh, the one team I know isn't going to win is the Marlins. Perfect. That was the year that Beckett led them over the Yankees. And Steve Bartman had an issue.
You could see how the Cardinals could stay close and maybe get the second wild card spot and have Wainwright ready to go for a one-game playoff and beat the Mets or whoever it is and then move on to play whoever and maybe the Cubs, maybe Arrieta's not what he is now. Maybe Lester tries to pick somebody off and throws the ball into the upper deck a couple times. It could happen. It's happened before. That's what you got to pin your hopes on anyway.
It could happen. And I'm telling you, if that were to happen where it would be Cubs versus Cardinals, NLDS, I'm telling you, all the pressure, this is the first time in forever, all of the pressure is on the Cubs. And I think that does matter. And I could just see in this weird year where everybody expects the Cubs to win the World Series. They're now supposed to win the World Series. They play the Cardinals in a down year. The Cardinals have kind of owned them for the last 20 years or so. I know what happened last year. But I'm just saying, I could see just a weird Cubs things always happen. Always, it's always odd. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Until they break that curse, it's still a curse to me.
Cardinals
the
could
weight
hire,
of the world
Cardinals
is going to be
hire
on the Cubs.
Steve Bartman and give him a good seat, right front row.
There you go.
Just his presence might spook the Cubs a little bit.
I'm telling you, how awesome would it be if in this year when the Cardinals weren't even that good, relatively speaking, they were able to get in, win the wild card, and take down the Mammoth Cubs in a best of five.
If we play the Cubs, I think everyone should dress up like Steve Bartman. 45,000 people dressed as Bartman was dressed that night.
With the headphones, the hat,
yes,
the Renegades
exactly.
sweatshirt, and the mm-hmm. what, the turtleneck?
Yeah, he had a turtleneck on.
Yeah.
Here is the story, Madison Bumgarner, Vince Scully.
Good. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Ball players. 2 years ago in spring training, and he and his wife were roping cattle, which is what they do. 1-1 pitch, sinker low, ball two, 2-1. And they were startled by a large snake. And Madison thought it was a rattlesnake, so he grabbed an axe and he hacked the snake to pieces. But there's something more to the story. 2-1 pitch, low, ball three, 3-1. When his wife, Allie, and an expert field dresser examined what was left of the snake, she found two baby jackrabbits inside pieces of the snake and extracted them. 3-1 pitch to Turner, way inside, ball four. And after she extracted them a short while later, the Bumgarners noticed that one of the rabbits had moved slightly. It was alive. Well, his wife brought the rabbit back to their apartment. For the next few days, they kept it warm, bottle nursed it, and the rabbit soon was healthy enough that they released it into the wild. And Madison said, just think about how tough that rabbit was. First it gets eaten by a snake, then the snake gets chopped to pieces, then it gets picked up by people and lives. It's all true. Meanwhile, line drive base hit.
That's so awesome.
It's just the greatest. It's the absolute greatest.
He grabbed an axe. He just happened to have an axe right there. Chopped the snake to pieces. And who goes looking through the pieces of a snake for rabbits? Or would pull them out?
Expert
field dressers.
Field dressers. All right. Mad bum.
Tim, I'm headed to Vegas tonight. Any tips on porn stars? That's from Humphrey. What that means.
Are there porn stars just hanging out?
Yeah, I don't know.
How many, Doug? How many porn stars are there?
Charlie, how many are
there? Just
a
handful?
Six.
I'd say
just a handful that do
all
the movies?
Let's try to guess. Let's try to guess, though. I would say there are, in the United States of America, Tim, what do you think? 10,000.
10,000?
I'm going to take the under on that. I would
10,000?
But everybody 750.
Oh, really? Everybody has a webcam now, though.
Yeah, it depends on how you define.
But it doesn't make you a porn star just because you turn a camera on yourself. I'm talking about people that make the movies.
Okay, but if you're going ones. on your bed and setting up a webcam and charging people, is that not pornography?
Well, it is, but I don't think that makes you a porn star. I'm talking about the Caden Cross type porn stars, the people that actually make the movies.
Probably then 50 in the star category.
And those are the 50 that you're looking for. Those are the 50 you deal with, try to
yes,
find.
That's who I deal
coming.
With. As I was texting with Caden on Friday afternoon, I said, Caden, it started with you. Then it became Keisha Gray, August Ames, Christy Mack, and now Lana Rhodes. Who will my next Lana Rhodes be? Bomber O'Brien sponsors it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will you ever break down the guys?
Of course I will.
You didn't mention any guys there, though.
Manuel Ferrara. Are you still high on him, Plow Cub?
Yeah, he still has a big ceiling ahead of him.
Big ceiling ahead of him.
Although he is married, so maybe that he doesn't do as many movies now, I imagine.
No, he's everywhere. He's the guy.
Doug, he's the guy.
Okay.
James
I couldn't
Dean.
Pick this guy out of a lineup, though.
No.
I
got his number. I can text him right now.
I've heard of James Dean because he's had some crossover appeal. And also, aren't women accusing him of
sexual assault? Stoya did, Doug.
Did she? Okay.
Hey, you looking for fireworks?
Why would you have to? I mean, if you're a porn star, you're not getting it often enough that you're going to go assault someone?
No, it was during a scene. He's very aggressive, and it was during a scene.
Oh.
Wasn't it with that girl from the Teen Mom, though? Plowsy.
Oh, was it with Farrah? Farrah Abraham?
Farrah Abraham.
Yeah, she has a case against him as well. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
That's where I read it.
Wow, I better button up before I do the sponsored segment.
So he's assaulting people on camera.
Well, I think they're safe words. You have what's your safe word again?
I don't really need a safe
word. Doug's safe word is keep going.
Ah.
Charlie, if I had a prize, I'd give you one.
That's from a movie, though. That wasn't my line.
Well, now I'm going to take the prize back. Anyway, you want some fireworks?
Yes, please.
Captain Jim's Fireworks. They're located at Highway 367 between the bridges in West Alton, Missouri, in the same parking lot as Dirt Cheap. They're open year-round, and like most fireworks stands that close after the 4th of July, since they're open all year-round, their prices are the lowest. Every item is hand-picked every year to make sure they carry only the best. No dud guarantee. If you have an item that doesn't fire properly, just bring it back, and they will exchange it, no questions asked. They're the oldest family-run stand in St. Louis, operating from the same location since 1947. Mention our radio station, and you get 10% off the purchase at Captain Jim's Fireworks. Captain Jim's Fireworks, brother.
Captain Jim's.
What'd you say the name of the place was?
Captain Jim's
Fireworks.
That's right. All right. And also, I want to make sure I let our listeners know about Michael's Flooring. We got a huge email batch, so I want to clear out 10 minutes for this. Michael's Flooring. If you are in the market, whether you are a contractor, do it yourself, or they have four great locations to visit and a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. What sets them apart? Their employees. When you come in, they'll ask questions that others may not, and they'll try to find the perfect match instead of selling what they have overstocked. They're great for everyone. They're perfect for the do-it-yourselfers or the contractors. Four locations, St. Charles County, West County, North County, and Darden Prairie. When you think of Michael's, think local. They have been local in St. Louis for over 20 years. Michael'sFlooringOutlet.com. Michael's Flooring Outlet. Support the sponsors. Doug, it's time for our email today.
All right.
And the Plow Shark and the Sea Monster are very high on what we have going on.
Are they?
In these emails. Right. Darius Rucker tickets for this Friday's concert, livenation.com. Ahoy! Man, oh man, you guys brought massive waves of heat. This ma'am, I mean. So, how was your Father's Day, guys? I spent mine working over a couple Waffle House wafts and a triple order of shredded browns, flat loaded up with mushrooms, Tommy Tom chunks, jalapeno peps, chili and salsa. Talk about delicious heartburn, hubba hubba. I was finna sip a few Bud Lights in me back yeed, but couldn't secure a good deal as I have no ties to AB. And you know homeboy ain't finna pay retail. How do you do? No fooling. Lefty Jacksmear.
Mm. Lefty Jacksmear.
Wow, Jacksmear. Wow, wow. What a weekend it was. I mean, good for Bron and DJ, but guys, we didn't even cover the Super Bowl of father-son dances. That's right. The 2016 Vianney Father's Day Mixer was a P-O-N-Y. Talk about a smoke show. This dreamboat was wearing a Zorro mask. His slacks were tight, his forehead was shiny, and his Oxford was blue. From a distance, I could barely make out his name tag, but I believe it read, "Hello, I'm Uncle Anal."
Oh,
I guess it was the more fun brother of Father Anal because he was kissing dads like there was no tomorrow. When it was my turn to dance with the masked man, the communard swayed our bodies to and fro. He told me a tale of what the lyrics meant. He spoke of Vasco da Gama and Marco Polo being secret lovers and losing each other at sea. Is that a true story?
No.
Yes.
Upon finding each other again, Polo prayed that da Gama's son would make love to him.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Sea Monster really liked it. They would chase each other around the ship, yelling the famed explorer's name, only to find each other and hope that the tickle fight led to a passionate kiss. Is that how the game Marco Polo started?
Yes, no. It's true. No, it's in Wikipedia.
Hence the game we play today in the Communards being the final song for the 2016 Vianney Father-Son Mixer. Thanks, Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Wow, wow, wow. Plowcuck, check out this Craigslist ad. Craigslist personals. Casual encounters. F4MF. I'm a hot, horny 28-year-old bi nympho, and I want to do you and your wife or girlfriend if she's hot. I am training a twinkish, well-hung young AM radio personality to be my cuck. I also have a leggy female AM radio personality who is up for anything. So if you're hot or if your wife is hot, hit me up. Send full body nude with face pic or I won't reply. Your pic gets mine and my cucks. Put said girl in the title so I know you're real. P.S. Age doesn't matter. In parentheses, if you can get me on radio or television, I'm in. That's from Fonda Peters.
Fonda.
And there was a Peter Fonda, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. He's new.
I think it's a woman, right?
Peter Fonda was a man.
No, but Fonda,
yeah. Oh,
I think is a woman.
Guys, Plops here. Sorry, I just got back, and it's been a wild week. First, I was arrested just outside the St. Gabe's School picnic. I wanted to make a grand entrance to really let people know I'd arrived. So I came cruising right in, nude, riding my recumbent bike, laid back like the Dickens, pedaling away with my taint parallel to the asphalt.
Oh, ah.
I was tackled off of the bike by what I can only assume was one of those crooked basketball referees and locked in a drunk tank for 4 days. Then it was off to upstate New York, where I was starring in my own one-man stock show called If You Build It, He Will Come, which was a porn spoof of Field of Dreams starring yours truly. We were shut down during opening night just after the scene where I'm swinging a baseball bat with a donut on it in the nude, loosening up whilst whispering the phrase, "Ease his pain." The good news, though, is I'm back. So what did I miss? Tim bought Camo X or something? Thanks. Misty Plops.
Misty Plops.
Plops here.
Just curious if you lady boys were able to get those hot booger hooks on the latest issue of Tank Lid Charcuterie? Charcuterie.
I'd do your best with that one, Tim.
It has some unbelievable articles outlining which meats and cheeses are best served on the rear of the porcelain throne, as well as which combination of cheese boards are best paired with wine to facilitate some real nice, like, hot steam bombs. Thanks, Timmy Walters.
Timmy Walters.
Walters.
TMA, Bathroom Fun Edition. As Dougie sat in his boy den, he felt a rumbly in his tumbly. The tuna burrito he ate for breakfast was not sitting well with him. He dashed to the bathroom to let his butt bloom like the rose it was. As he started into the second round of squirts, he saw the last few tatters of TP hanging from the cardboard cylinder. He panicked, but he also noticed a loose piece of garden hose laying in this bathtub. He then thought about his heydays in Miami. "I got it. I'll make a bidet," he said to himself. He tied the hose to the sink faucet and let it rip. It was too much pressure. The water blew him off the seat and onto the floor. "Son, help, I need you." Dougie's son opened the door and saw his dad wet and naked on the bathroom floor. "Wipe me?" "Yes."
"Okay, that's enough."
"No, finish it."
Like TVs, Dougie now has a bidet installed in every room of the house just in case. It's Cucky from the Shrub.
Cucky.
Cucky from the Shrubs.
Good email.
Wonderful. This is great. Hold on a second. Running out of space.
Okay.
Cucky.
"Well, fellas, it's been hotter than two gerbils in a wool sock out there, so this weekend I beat the heat in my parents' basement, drinking George Gervin-flavored Gatorade whilst trolling for dudes on that Bumble BFF app. Just trying to stir up some fellowship, and you can chalk up another assist to the Iceman, because yesterday I got a Bumble match. My first thought was, boy, I got to tell Tim about this. The deets, he's got a tautly cut jib, blue feet, and Zaftig pincers. He kind of looks like Enos Cabell, but in cargo shorts. I wonder if he likes sock hops. Thanks, the Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel."
Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel.
That was all over the place.
"I have very little going on in my life."
Yeah. Us in the too. Crowd.
"So obviously a 7 to 10 a.m. morning is what I have to look forward to each day. By mentioning my name, you make me harder than a schoolboy watching his first stag film. Harder than Doug at a St. Gabriel sock hop. Thanks, the Tickler." Doug, that's Timmy the Tickler.
Awful. The Tickler. Disappointed in him.
Tickler.
Some of these can't be read.
Don't read them if they're vile,
yeah,
Tim.
Yeah, I'm putting them in the trash. I'm putting them in the trash.
Garbage. A lot of them.
Yeah.
They're that bad for even you not to read them?
Yeah.
That's really bad.
"Hey, Tim, sorry to bug you again. It was great hanging out with you at Billy G's. If you ever come across some Cardinal tickets you can't use, I'd love to take my dad to a game as a late Father's Day gift. Also, I have some business deals I'd love to run by you. I'll Snapchat you. Thanks, the Billy G's Nat."
Billy G's Nat.
That's the Dogtown Astro
He's
band.
New. Gannat.
And finally, "Morning, gents. Just wondering if you got those chubby little man ticklers on the latest issue of Bidet Aficionado Quarterly. There's a great little article about how to best clean a musty man canal after a night sloppy joes and stepdads. And for Adam, there's an editorial, hot or cold, which is best to blast your bum. Best thing I've read in a while. Check it out. Big Boss Inoko."
No.
Big
and that's
boss.
What we have for the email of the
Big
day,
boss,
which you got.
I'll go with a fellow by the name of Matt who bowls at Hank's.
I like the bidet talk. I liked Cucky from the Shrubs. I never, ever again want to hear the phrase butt bloom ever again.
I don't care.
I am voting for the Vasco da Gama themed Matt Who Bowls at Hank.
Matt Who Bowls at Hank ships it. He was going to get my vote as well. He wins email of the day, and he's going to see Darius Rucker. Seamaster, what are the standings now?
Matt Who Bowls at Hank's has just tied Cucky the Dwarf for lead in June.
Wow.
With 3 wins apiece. Wow. And we also have Misty Plops with 2.
Oh, boy. The greats are battling, Doug. It's exciting.
Not that exciting.
Frank is up next. It's the Lion's Choice famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino press box. For Peyton. For the Plow Shark. For my brother Kevin. For our intern Madison. For the Seamaster. For Charlie Marlowe. For Jimmy the Cat Hayes. For Douglas Elvin Vaughn. I'm Tim McKernan, and this has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM Inside of Steel.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.